So, you're a Calisero.
Yep.
I said your last name, right? Correctly?
Yep, you said it. You got it, man.
All right, great. Yeah, it's been really cool watching you doing comedy for, I guess, how long have you been doing it for? Have you been doing it for more than a year?
Yeah, I think I met you maybe like a year and a half ago, about, because I started a year and a half, and I'm pretty sure I met you like at least one of the first couple of mics I went to, so it's been about a year and a half now, man.
Yeah, I think I saw you a lot at, what was it,
I think Ewenwich, probably?
No, it was the old mic that,
Oh, Lemongrass?
Lemongrass. I think it was Lemongrass. Yeah, and then I saw you at Ewenwich a lot.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, recently, a couple of months ago, that I really started, like, maybe, like, 4 months ago, I started talking to you. Because you were always to yourself. And, like, I didn't know if you were, like, a very social person. Not in a mean way. It's just, like, I know people get in their head before they do their sets. Yeah, sure. So it can be tough to...
I definitely was, kind of shy around, like, especially when I first started, even till now, like, if I don't really know everybody in the room, I'll kind of like be kind of keep to myself, be a little more on the shy side, you know?
Right. I feel like you have a good, like, humor about you, though, because people make a lot of jokes at your expense and you don't seem to take it in like a negative way, which is really it's an important thing, that quality to have. I had to learn to deal with that, because you never know, like, what someone's perspective of is it like, are they messing with me in a good way? Is it like you want to be in a good spirit, but also there can be things you're sensitive about too, so it can be like, okay, well, you know, I always feel like you've taken that sort of like that in jest of, you know, what we do, because that's just like a common thing at open mics.
Yeah, definitely learned like early on, like, you know, when I first started doing comedy, like, you know, everybody kind of gets these jokes, right? Like, everybody...
Yeah.
Like, the thing, it's fair game, you know? We all kind of crack jokes at each other. And, like, early on, like, even though I was new, they were cracking jokes at me already. Like, oh, like, Asian dude this, Asian dude that, or whatever. And it was like, you just gotta laugh at it, you know?
Right.
It's all fun at the end of the day.
Like, exactly. Gotta, yeah. I always figure if it's in that vicinity, if it's on stage, if it's in, like, the room when everyone's around, it's like, it's not, like, a personal thing. It's just, like, you know... And it's cool just to find that energy. And, like, especially before mic, like, it can be so, like, that's the one thing that's great, like, about open mics that is such a good thing, is you need to make sure everyone is comfortable and everyone sort of gets along before. It's very important to have that. And you do a lot more than I do, which is, you know, a lot. You go out, like, every night usually, right?
Yeah, I try to do comedy every night if I can. But, yeah, it's just, like, working out at the gym, you know? It's just about showing up and getting them reps in, you know?
Yeah, it always seems like you always have, like, new stuff that you're doing. And I told you this before, like, the great thing about your act, I don't know if this is on purpose, it feels very much like there are jokes there, but it feels very much like Sneak Attack in a good way of, like, oh, he's just talking, and then... those punchlines get peppered in a really fun way. Okay. It's just like, it's like, oh yeah, there it goes. It just takes a while because you have a very conversational style, which I always envy because I want that. It's like, you can just go up and you have that back and forth even though no one else is talking but you.
Yeah.
It's just that, like, calm response sort of. And I've noticed with you, I just think because of your general demeanor, you're allowed to get away with a lot more. Does that ever surprise you? Like, that you're able to get off, like, with a little more tongue-in-cheek stuff?
Okay, yeah. Sometimes, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I could say shit that, like, maybe other people can't.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's definitely times where I've said stuff where, like, the crowd didn't necessarily mess with, and I was like, oh, damn, all right.
It's tough. It can be tough to find that. It's like a sweet spot because you want to have fun, but you don't want to hurt anyone. And it takes like that, like initial, like that's just what it is. It's just like you're trying to feel it out and be like, okay, what can I do? Because there's no like malicious intent to it. You just want to do what is best. And it's fun to push those boundaries, but it can be really tough. And just I noticed with that, like just your onstage demeanor, I think... it just helps really well. And it's so cool to just see you, just like you said, it's like going to the gym, just showing up all the time and just doing it. And I think that was one of the coolest things about, like, even though you weren't very social, was that was cool. It was like, oh, he's at least putting the work in, which I think everyone sort of wants, you know, in anyone who does this. Yeah, so how old are you?
So I'm 23 now, and I actually turned 24 in about less than a month.
May, oh, so. Okay. So you're like, it's my Kobe year. Yeah. You're like similar to me when I started doing stand-up. It was just like that age, and it's so interesting now that I'm 29, I'm sort of up, caught up in age with everyone, which is so funny because they're like 3-4 years older than me, most of them. And yeah, it's like, it can be hard to be like, you know, I used to talk about, you know, socially, like, never as, like, a drama thing, but just how people fit in socially. Do you feel like you fit in well, like, with people right away?
Definitely when I first started, I wouldn't say I necessarily fit in the jump, especially because of my age, right? Because when I started, I was 22, right? So I'm
23. Yeah, I was the same way.
Yeah, and the first out of college, and everyone was already kind of older, like mid, late 20s, 30s, whatever.
Right, and it can be so tough to, you know, you want to talk about college, you want to talk about this stuff, and it's like, how do I relate? And that's a big part.
Exactly. It's like, how do you relate? And I was like, yo, I'm mad young, you know? I feel like a baby out here.
Yeah.
Like, 22 talking, so like, yeah, I didn't really feel like I fit in necessarily in the beginning.
Yeah, it can be real tough.
But then I started to kind of, as I was, like, learning comedy and, you know, kind of learning the ropes, like, honestly, I would say, like, a year in, I felt very, like, welcomed, like, within that year. Like,
yeah.
I was, like, welcomed by everybody, especially, like, the Jersey community.
Yeah. And the one thing that I want to compliment you on, and I think, you know, it's an overlooked thing, is you don't really, like, cause a whole lot of problems, which is one of the, like, best things to have as a quality. It doesn't seem like something, because I know it's, like, not something we really work on, but it can happen, you know? You can say the wrong thing sometimes. It's just, like, with you, it feels like, I don't know if that ever feels that way for you, but it feels like you've always kept a good head about stuff. And
yeah, for sure. I try my best, like, to not, you know, like come at anybody crazy, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna, you know, we're all going to crack jokes and not everything.
Yeah.
Be, like, unreasonable. And it's, like, I don't know, I'm pretty a lighthearted dude anyway, so mm-hmm. it's like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, there's no, like, malicious intent with my jokes or, like, how I talk to anybody. And it's tough, like, I see people out here be having beef, and I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, it can be tough. Like, I've had my fair share of stuff. Like, my thing has always been, to me, I'm just always all about, like, I'm cool that people do this as a hobby. Like, I'm totally fine with that. I'm totally, like, cool with that. But I feel like people should at least, if you're going to do anything at all, especially stand-up or anything performative, there should be some work ethic put into it.
Yeah.
And I can be kind of a dick about that sometimes.
So, like, you don't, you, when you say, like, oh, I could be a dick, is it, like, people who don't put in, like, that
Yeah, way? Yeah. If I don't view it that way, and it's, like, it's something I had to teach myself, too. Like, not everyone has the same dreams as you. And everyone has the same perspective and goals as you. And that doesn't make them a bad person, you know?
I feel that.
And
no, I could relate to that, man.
Like, the big thing is, like, you can love, you can, like, what I've learned a lot from just hanging out with other comics is you can be friends with comedians who you don't mesh with on stage. Like, you don't have the similar sense of humor. But you can still understand what they're going for and what their intentions are and, you know, that they're at least doing something well. Like, to me, what I dealt with a lot of is, especially when I started to get, like, more well-recognized, I've always dealt with this thing of, like, I don't know if people are messing with me or if they think it's genuine, but when I was doing this open mic at the Brighton Bar, it was very, very popular, and I wouldn't stay. Like, I was very bad. I would stay for my friends. I wouldn't watch. And then people would make fun of me, like my friends would, and then other people would do it, sort of if they didn't have any jokes, like, sort of as a crutch. And I got really angry at that because I was like, I like being roasted by my friends and, like, comedians that I respect. But it's like, if you're not going to write jokes and you're just going to use me as a crutch, I got really mad at that.
Yeah.
And it's like a cop-out. It was like, so whenever I see that stuff, I'm just like, that's what I don't like. But to me, I'm just like, if you're doing it and you're just putting in the work like you are and you're just doing it, it's always cool. And it's always cool to just talk about, like, it's so fun to talk to you about comedy on a it was at Caitlin's mic.
Yeah.
I saw you. That was a really cool night. And I haven't been back there. I have to go there. Did you go to the last one?
Not the one that happened this month, but I went to last month's one. And it's a good mic. Shout out to Caitlin.
Yeah. Where is that?
That's the one in, what's that? It's on the tip of my tongue.
I can never remember.
Madison, New Jersey?
I think so. Is it called, like, Garfield or something? Is that it? No.
I think it's I think
Madison. Madison. Yeah. Madison. That's what it is. Yeah, and I just remember, it's just a great space. And it was cool to see her, like, when I went, it was kind of tough because she was new to it. But it can be so tough to deal with, you know, getting people to behave and stuff. And that was a little bit, like, tough. Like, I felt so bad. I was, like, not trying to be critical, but I was. And it was, like, you know, because she did such a great job. Especially the night I was there. I was just like, there are way too many people not following rules here. And it can be so tough. Like, to me, I'm always, like, I always have to tell, like, my mom this and stuff, because she came to a lot of my stuff early on and, like, still does. It's like, you know, I never want to be negative about it, but you do have to sort of lower your expectations, like, with open mics, if that makes sense. It's like, you always have to be expectant of what they are. Like, I always make this similar reference. Have you ever seen, you've seen the movie Dodgeball before, right?
Is have that you? With Adam Sandler?
No. It has, like, Vince Vaughn in it.
Hey, man, my bad. I'm 23.
No, you probably never saw it. Well, anyway, there's a character. They have, like, it's this ragtag, like, dodgeball team. And they have this weird coach that comes in. And they're like, is he weird? Is like, no. And then he acts all weird. And they're like, well, not weird for us. And it's the same way for open mics. You'll be like, you could bring, like, a stranger on. They'll be like, wow, this is terrible. And then you'd be like, no, you should have been here last week.
That's so true.
Like,
when I first started doing open mics, you don't know what to expect. And I was like, yeah, for sure. In the beginning, I was like, yo, these people are weird.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yo, I'm weird too.
Right. And that gives it less pressure too, because then you realize, like, that's what makes it so easy to do, if you just watch other people do it. Because you realize it's at this lower level, and you're just like, oh, well, like, everyone's working on their stuff. And when stuff is really good, that's when it's, like, amazing. It's like, oh, this is so cool to see someone. And especially when I watch someone like you, who's newer, just, like, evolve over time, is so cool.
Thank you, man.
Just to see, you add stuff, like, you know, it just sees you get more comfortable. I only remember one person that you told me that you liked, Joe Coy.
Oh, yeah, shout out to my boy, Joe Coy. I feel like he really inspired a bunch of, Filipinos especially, but, you know, Asians in general, to kind of get into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really see, like, an Asian dude, like, at that caliber, you know, doing stadium.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, Kevin Hart type shit.
Oh, yeah.
But then when he started doing it, then I was like, yo, like, let's see what we can do, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, shout out to him, man.
Yeah, and it must be cool to have that representation of, like, okay, that's... Yeah. That's my world. That's what people are talking about. That's always the cool thing with comedy. Like,
yeah,
it's sort of reaching out and just, you know, it's like that relatable thing. It's just, that's the main, one of the main parts of it is just finding that relating to people in a way. And it's so cool. Like, do you have any other people that you sort of looked up to before you did comedy? Like, that really pushed you into
wanting to do it? Oh, yeah, for sure. I could probably name some top people, like Joe Coy, definitely a big inspiration, like, culturally, too. Andrew Schultz, I know some people, it might be an unpopular opinion,
like,
but...
I like him. I have a mixed opinion on him.
I always get
sort of talked about it a little bit before.
I always get mixed reviews whenever I say Andrew Schultz, but for me, I'm best with Andrew Schultz. Like,
no, I think he's great.
Yeah, like, his dedication to the craft, I really respect.
Oh, yeah. And he just, I think the one comparison that I always make to him is, rest in peace, Ralphie May, like, very similar to that, of just, you know, he's very good at knowing the inside stuff. Because that's, like, what you really need if you're going to be a comic like that, is, like, people might be, it's always funny, like, people who aren't in that group might be offended But then it's like, no, that's like a deep cut thing that that group will get. Yeah, that.
He always has that deep cut knowledge.
Yeah.
So, like, especially at the time, I got really into Andrew Schultz when I was in college.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that kind of planted the scene in my mind. Like, oh, man, like, I could do this.
Right.
That was really inspiring. So, Andrew, still love him now. Shout out to Andrew if you're listening. In high school, I watched a bunch of, middle school and high school, I watched a lot of Russell Peters. And a lot of people don't know, but Jamie Foxx back in the day used to do stand-up a bunch. So, like,
yeah.
Jamie Foxx, I just really admired as an entertainer because, you know, he had so much energy, right? So when he was doing stand-up, like, his act-outs were always over the top.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There.
Like, he always gave his all. So, like, I felt inspired. I try to draw a lot of inspiration when it comes to, like, as an entertainer from Jamie Foxx. Like,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, it can be so tough to be physical on stage, for sure. Yeah, I tried that last year for the first time, and it was like, it was tough because it's like you spend all this time like writing your jokes, and you're like, oh, now I got to figure out how to say them, how to do them. And to me, I've never, like, it's always funny. Like, I have all these, you know, from my like little bit of autism, I have all these tics that I do on stage that are not pre-planned. And a lot of people, sometimes they think they're pre-planned. It's like, no, like, touching my face. My hair is like, no, that's not planned. I wish it was.
Act out right now, and you're like, this isn't an act out.
But it's like, you know, it's tough to find that space of like, okay, this is what I'm going to do and take that chance. And some people are really good at it. It's just like, you know,
I feel like act outs don't really work as well at like, smaller open mic settings, right? Like, if the audience...
No, it's tough. If people know you, it's very tough to... I was just talking with someone about this. It's very tough to... I was talking with Mike Marr, because it's very hard to have that... It's very hard to be performative. Like, yes, the performative side.
Performative.
At an open mic, because we're all friendly. So it's all, like... You're meeting... It's like you're meeting with a group of friends, so your set becomes more... And your stage presence just becomes more casual, becomes more conversational.
Yeah,
and like, if you're able to perform in front of a crowd, it's like it's easier to be like, okay, you know a little bit of, I call it like show business. It's like you get to be a little bit of show business. You're like, you know, it's not fake in any way, but you're just like, you can show off more and be like, this is my entertaining side. It's like,
yeah, I agree, man. I feel like comedy is a spectrum. On one end, you have a conversational. That's the extreme left, and on the extreme right, it's, like, performative, right?
Right.
And then you gotta, like, depending on your crowd, you gotta, like, place yourself on that spectrum, like, appropriately. So, like, when I'm at open mics or, like, a more intimate setting, you know, where the crowd is maybe, like, 10, less than 10 people, like, I can't do act-outs. I can't be more performative.
No.
It's not really gonna work. You gotta be more conversationalist versus, like, if you're doing, like, a theater or, like, you know, there's, like, you know, maybe 50 people in the crowd.
Right.
Then you can kind of get away with, like, the bigger act-outs, more the performative stuff. Like, you can get away with not doing any crowd work. You know
what
I mean?
For sure.
Like, because if you try to do crowd work in a big theater, like, it can work. Well, you can do it. But, like, versus when you're in an open mic or in a small show where there's, you know, small people, you have to do crowd work. You gotta acknowledge them.
Right. You know what I mean? And, you know, it can be so tough because, to me, I'm like, you know, I have such a terrible attitude towards crowd work. This is the joke that I started working on. I don't really say it on stage as much as I should. Is like, if the audience was funny, they'd be up here. Like, that's sort of my concrete way of thinking about it. But then I'm like, you know, but also I want to give everyone a good time. And it's sort of that happy medium of like, what do you do? Because you can't just go up and do your act and like, you know, selfishly just do your act and shout at people your act. You need to make it presentable in some way, like, is what I do. Like, the one thing that I always sort of have the catch 22 in what I do, I don't know if this is for you, like, if I'm having a, like, whatever mood I am, really, I don't really fake, like, even if I'm in that show setting of, like, crap, I never fake what I'm feeling. Like, if I'm, and sometimes I wish I could, like, be more stabilized, but when I go on stage, I'm usually, like, if I'm upset that night or something happens, like, I'll just go full into it. And, like, even a little bit more, like, I'll play it up more. Like, that happened at Caitlin's mic. It was just a lot of stuff, like, not her fault at all. It was just, there was a couple new people, and just, like, some people were not doing, like great stuff. So I was just like, I was angry about certain things. And then some stuff didn't piss me off. And I was just like, it would be funny if I played it up that I was mad at this. Yeah. It was just like, but.
Do you ever get like pissed? Like,
very rarely.
Let's say you go to a mic, right? And then there's just like 10 whack comics. Like they're maybe they're newer. They don't really know what they're doing. And they just kind of suck. Objectively?
Like to me, it's all about. To me, it's all about intent and personality. Because a lot of people would be so good, especially starting out. Like, this is one thing that's hard to learn, is likability will get you a long way. And that's the same thing with, like, a guy like Andrew Schultz probably had to manage. Is, like, you can be as offensive as you want, really. The one main catalyst to making it great is making yourself likable. And that can be extremely tough because you want to have all sides of what you do and come off the right way.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the main thing. Like, I feel like as long as someone's trying, like, I sort of, that's my main, like, I guess, distinction with it. Like, if someone doesn't try and they're just, like, not really doing it, because I think the hard thing with stand-up is you want to convince everyone that you're doing stand-up even though we're at that medium. If that makes sense, you wanna go up there and fulfill that stereotype, but like that genre of what you're doing. You wanna go up and be like, I am not talking. This is not a speech. This is stand up comedy. What I'm doing is stand up, and I feel like that's the only art form where you have to do that. A guitar player can go up and play a guitar and be like, I'm a musician. A person could go on stage, talk, and tell jokes, and they still have to, like, qualify that they are a comedian, if that makes sense.
We gotta prove ourselves.
Yeah, and you gotta prove yourself constantly. And that can be very tough, because not everyone's personality is fleshed out on stage. Of course, it never is. Like, that's the one thing that I've learned, is you have to sort of build, like, not a character around it or anything. You can be authentic. You can do a character. I've seen people do that. But you have to build in that world, in a sense, because that's how it, like, gets better, is when people get to see sort of the full spectrum of what you are. If you're on stage and they get to see that you're generally a calm person like you are, if they get to see you angry, they get to see you in a different light, that's always good, because they get to see that side of you, and it makes you more fleshed out as, like, a person on stage. It's like, okay, this is what this person is like happy. This is what this person's like when they're annoyed. And that's where, like, you can bring out sarcasm, and you can bring out, like, you do that a lot, which is great. Like, I love you'll have, like, little anecdotes that are very, like, sarcastic barbs. But they're not, like, stingy, but they're, like, it's, like, very clever, the way that you'll put them out. You'll be, like, I don't know if that's a, like, pre-measured thing, or if that's just something that comes off in every joke that you tell.
You point out, like, my sarcasm, because, like, I feel like, honestly, I haven't really been tapping into my inner sarcasm as much as I have as, since when I started doing comedy, right?
Right.
My humor before comedy was, you know, very goofy, lighthearted, which I still very much, for sure. But, like, as soon as I started doing comedy, like, I started to tap into, like, that darker humor, that sarcasm.
Right.
More, you know, like that's all. I say sarcasm is more, like, on the spectrum of comedy, like, towards the darker.
Right. Well, it's, like, it comes on, like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I feel like with comedy, especially, like, I always say this, is when I first started being funny was when I was, like, a teenager, really, because I got picked on a whole lot. So what basically happened was I would have, like, these sarcastic comebacks and stuff, and very, like, snipey. And I would never get in trouble in school because I'd make my teachers laugh with my responses to people. So it was, like, the same way carries. And I think that's one of the same things. It was, like, when you use it as a defense mechanism, sarcasm and that sort of thing is that side to it where you show that edge and you're, like, you know, it's, like, especially if you're not, like, an imposing person, like, if you're pretty small like me, it's, like, okay, this is the way that I can get back at you. I can't get back at you physically, but I have words. I know how to.
I feel that, yeah.
Tone, and
for me personally, I didn't really start to develop that sarcastic edge until I guess adulthood, right? Like young right. adulthood, like living on your own, working out in the real world. Like, you know, when you're put out there in the real world and you gotta like survive, you gotta develop an edge.
And I feel like part of that. And the great thing about comedy is it has such a universal thing to it too. Yeah. And also it's good because I always say it's a great thing because it has so many different ways we can use it. You know, you can escalate a situation, you can de-escalate, you can make something lighter. Like, I think, you know, do you have any siblings?
Oh, yeah, I have an older brother, older sister, and younger sister.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm the youngest, I have an older brother and an older sister, and I think, you know, okay. as a person, like, I think if you're in a family, especially a big one, like, there's always that, you know, families have problems and stuff, but whenever you have that lighthearted person that can sort of, you know, they sort of take the pressure off of when something gets tough or, you know, that always happens. It's like, you can sort of have that relief of like, okay, this is where I can be funny. This is where I can calm the mood down.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a cool thing.
Were you kind of like that?
I guess so, a little bit. Like, to me, I was always just like, my brother was more goofy in the stuff. And I was always more like, I guess the same way that I've always been. I wasn't really a big performer type when I was younger. Because, like, I think I always viewed attention as negative. Just whenever I saw people, like, whenever an adult, like, really gave people attention, it was when they were yelling at them. And I was a goody two-shoes. I hated getting that. And then as I've gotten older, I've become less of that. Yeah. And more into, like, I'm more able to deal with that confrontation now. I used to be a not very good with confrontation person. And now, I think once I became, like, got that funny edge, it was like, okay, now I have something to contribute with this. You know, if you have nothing, like, to defend yourself with, it can be very tough to deal with. You know, if an adult is yelling at you, you sort of have that take. Like, people either have two ways to deal with it. You can be, like, indignant, or you can be like, oh, like, I'm just gonna melt away and, like...
Yeah.
Tuck my head between my legs and run. It's like, now, if you can talk, also, like, the one thing that's great is, like, that's the one skill. Like, you can talk yourself out of anything. Like, that's mainly what I do in life. It's like, not that I'm insincere. It's just, like, bullshitting my way through stuff has always been sort of my my thing.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah. So, So you mentioned your family. Are they big into comedy?
Are they comedians or?
No, I mean, like, are they fans? Are they like into it as much as you were?
I wouldn't say they're into it as much as I am. I think I am like the biggest fan of comedy or the biggest consumer of it in my family. But I mean, they've seen like, you know, the big like Russell Peters and stuff and all. But yeah, not as much as me.
Yeah, it's just always fun to like hear what people sort of had. Like, do your parents know you do stand-up, right?
Oh yeah. Funny that you say that, because I didn't tell my parents or really anybody too much for like the first year I was doing it. You know, that first, because like, you know, it's year one.
Yeah, like, you're probably thinking like, how much is this gonna how much am I gonna do this for? You kind of get that space. And I think one of the hardest things, I think, is dealing with those first early periods of it going well, because it goes well, and then you're like, oh, I'm amazing at this. This is what I'll do. And then you have those bombs, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Now it humbles you, and you either have, like, the thing that's really sad is, like, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny, because, like, I know many people who, not to be negative, but, like, I know many people who they've had that, they do so well for so long, they had that one bomb, it just, like, ruins it, and they don't do stand-up anymore, and I'm just like, that person could still do it. They just,
yeah.
It just,
dude,
it can really break you.
Bro, like, we've been in this for a little bit now, and it's like, you see people come and go, right? And it's
yeah.
Like, you gotta, oh, man, it's like, it really isn't, it's about being funny, right?
Yeah.
But in the end, it's really like, Can you stick with it? Can you stick with it?
You know, oh, yeah, for sure. And there's so many other factors with stand-up that I think a lot of people don't really realize at first. Because it's a lot of social time. And it's a lot of, like, being at a place consistently.
Yeah.
And that can be really tough in life, just to be like, am I going to be here, able to do this, like, every time and have the resources and have everything that you can have. And it just takes a lot of perseverance because, you know, it's like you're crafting what you think is funny and what you think is good.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you can't, like when you bomb, you gotta think in it because you can't be delusional, right? Like
right.
You gotta be like, all right, I bombed, this sucks.
Right.
And then you gotta evaluate it and see what happened, see it for what it is, and then learn and move on from it.
Right.
Like you can't let those bombs or those failures like stop you from moving forward, I feel like.
Oh yeah. Bombs are always different. Like that's a hard thing to talk about with it, to like specify with it, because some bombs you learn a lot from, mm-hmm. like in the moment, and then some you learn a lot from in hindsight. You're just like, oh, okay, I could have done this. Like, I know so many people who they'll pick some sort of material for their set, and I'll be like, oh, why didn't they do this material at the moment? And then I think of it, and it's like, well, I've done that before. We're like. You just sort of have that idea in your head of what you want to do. And if it doesn't go to plan, it can be like, oh, well, you can't go back and be like, oh, you know, I want to do this. It's like, no, you gotta be where you are. And it's cool. It's
important to, like, learn from the bombs, man. Like,
yeah.
I feel like when I first, like, in that first year, you know, I would listen. I recorded all my stuff, like, audio, video. I would listen to it, and then I would see what would work and, like, mm-hmm. take that and move forward, right? And but I think it's also equally important to see why things didn't work. And I feel like once I started to do that, I saw a lot of improvement. You know,
yeah.
Like, for example, what I would do is, like, all right, nights where I completely bombed, I would, like, wait a day or two to give myself, like, fresh ears, and then I would listen to it again and be like, all right, Kyle, listen to it as an audience member. Like, don't... You know what the material is, you know what the punchlines are, but try not to have any expectations. And when I started listening to it as a listener, and I would see, like, I would listen to the nights I bombed, I'm like, oh, I can see why this didn't work, because as a listener, this makes no sense.
Right.
At this point, I expected laughs. There was no laughs because I didn't understand it. There was no premise, you know, and I
felt that can be tough. Like, especially writing jokes early on, like... To me, personally, I always say, like, I didn't learn to write, like, a technical, like, set-up punchline joke until I was, like, a year and 6 months in. It was, like, a lot of... I had premises, but it was, like, no endpoint. It was, like, I have the first two steps. It's, like, where's the punchline that I had to find out? And once you find that formula, you sort of stick with it, and then you can bounce around other formulas. But that can be very tough, especially because, like... You know what you think is funny, and it can be hard to take a lot of setup, because the one thing that I think is very important in comedy, which I have a problem with, I know it's a big problem I have, and a lot of people have, is you fear silence, because you fear it as, they're not listening, they're bored, I need to be funny 24/7, I need...
Yeah.
It's to be laugh, 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 laugh. But I've learned through watching other people that you don't have to be as much afraid of silence. And some people can really use it to their advantage to build up tension. You'll see that with Caprio. Ricky does that a lot pretty well. Of like, even Nick Sanchez, he does really well. Like, you know, you have their attention, you know. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it in the moment, because you're like, you want laugh, 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 laugh.
Yeah.
But to me, that's always something that I feel like I have to learn. It's like, okay, calm down and make sure that they understand everything that you say.
Yeah, it definitely is, like, kind of nerve-wracking, especially when you first start, like, getting comfortable with silence, right?
Yeah.
Even till now, like, obviously if I hear too much silence and they're not engaged, I'm like, all right, I know I'm not doing great.
Right.
But, like, You gotta be comfortable with silence, because, like you said, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, when there's silence and you see all the people are looking at you, like, that silence means they're engaged.
Right.
So that, I mean, that's a good thing. But, you know, silence can be bad if nobody's looking at you, everyone's on their phone. Like, yeah, that's...
Right.
you it's over.
Yeah. I mean, it's always cool to see how people deal with different scenarios too. Like, I remember there was this one mic that I went to, I can't remember the name of it, but people wouldn't know if I said who ran it. It was one that Gordon Baker Brown did. He's like the biggest comic in New Jersey.
Jersey City?
No, it was close to that area, I think. But anyway, it was like that where you had to kind of be like playfully like meme with the crowd to get them to listen to you. I had to be that way. I had to kind of yell at them. And they liked it in a fun confrontational way, not like a mean way. It was just like, you know, if you really wanted their attention, you had to get them. That's always a fun, I always think that's fun. Like, the audience, too, is a big part of it, especially with open mics. Like, to become, some people are real, like, masters at controlling the room, just what they do. Like, I always give him so much credit on this podcast. I've had him on a bunch of, Caprio is great at that, because he's so great at tension, and, like, you know, he doesn't back away from it at all. He'll fully take any type of audience's reaction and response, and just, you know, he'll live in that moment, which is really tough to do. Because, you know, you can be like, okay, there's either two reactions. You can be like, okay, the crowd isn't dealing with this, I'm going to get off stage as fast as possible and just go through my stuff. Or you can be like, no, you have to stand in your sort of, like, I belong here type of thing. And that's what I feel like is important, too. To be like, it's like, if you have that's what I always say, like, or time is so small anyway, like, you get, like, at an open mic, you get, like, 5 minutes, you should, like, really stay on stage that entire time to not let people take that away from you, because you really can't let people take away your voice. I mean, that's the one thing, is, like, just let them know it's your time, not in, like, a mean way, but, like, you know, stand behind that. Be like, this is my time. This is my 5 minutes. I'm going to
when, I don't know about you, but for me, I remember when 5 minutes used to feel so long.
Oh, yeah. I talk about that a lot. Like, it feels so long. And then I think once you get better at stand-up, and once you do it a whole lot, especially since you're doing it, like, nightly, what's tough is you build up that confidence. And it gets kind of annoying because you're like, oh, I have them. Now I have them. Now I have the audience's attention.
Yeah.
And now I have to go. Like, to me, what happened when I was talking about starting out, like, to me, my main thing was, I always say, like, if I could give any advice to anyone new, the only advice I really give is try and grab them, like, the audience's attention in 30 seconds or less.
Yeah, you have to.
I always say it's like being like a sitcom character, like you just have to like come on stage and they don't have to know everything about you, but they have to know a little bit of like what's this guy's energy.
Yeah.
To get into it.
You have to build that trust with the audience within the first like couple seconds, 30 seconds, whatever. Because if not, they already immediately decide whether to check in or out.
Right. And if you show comfortability in a way, it just works. Like, that's what I always feel like I'm very confident with myself now, is like, I know that I have a lot of like outer anxiety, not from performing, because I've been performing a long time. It's just like my general personality and the way I am. So I have to immediately go up there and be like, yes, I look nervous, but I'm good at this. Like not a cocky way, but like to know, like to assure people, like, no, I know what I'm doing. And if you just give me, like, 5 seconds, I can get into this.
I got the guts to say that. Like, I still don't know what I'm doing, you know?
I think it's just, like, to me, like, I never want to sound, like, it's so funny, like, I have this really bad habit now. Like, I'm trying to get better at it, is if a stranger, like, if they hear, come up to me after my set and they compliment me, I'm always so super gracious. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much. I'm really glad that you liked it. And then when, like, a comedian says it to me, I'm like, well, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. I did the thing. It's like, you know, keeping that humility. It's hard to keep that humility a lot, because it's tough to realize, like, this is one thing that I always try and decide. Like, is this a skill or something that you can get better at? Because you want to think it's a talent, but...
What, comedy?
Yeah. But you want to feel like it's also something that you can get better at.
I think stand-up comedy can be learned.
Yeah.
Or it can be perfected. But here's my take on that one.
Yeah, sure.
Can everyone be a comedian? I think it's like any other craft. If you just dedicate enough hours and you're passionate about it, it's about putting in the hours and the time. Now, granted, I think, everybody has their own unique, humor to them.
Right.
And it's on you to, to highlight that and find that and then, highlight that when you do comedy. So not what I do is, not what one person does works for another person. But, given enough time, you can naturally find your voice and then do that on stage. So I think you can, I think it is possible to do stand-up comedy and learn it. But, there are those, for some people, they just got it. They got that it factor, they got it, and it's just about, honing in on it. But some people, it takes
time. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And it's all about, I think the hardest thing is finding really what you think is funny and transferring that to an audience. Especially, yeah. You want to show your full case sense of humor. This is my sense of humor. And if it rocks with people, that's the best. To me, I always feel I just want people to understand me. That's the main thing. Even if they don't think I'm particularly funny or they don't like my act, they can at least see where I'm coming from. That's my main goal is, besides the generally being funny and, wanting people to at least understand what I'm saying and don't take anything out of context of what I mean or what I intend.
Yeah.
Because that can be tough, people can sort of, on stage or off stage, they can get, a bad example of what you are and be like, no, that's not me. And you got to sort of,
So, you feel like you did a good job when you feel like the audience understood you, where you were
going. Yeah, when they understand you as a person, that makes sense. They're like, okay, I see what this person is talking about, and I might not think it's funny, but I understand his, his perspective.
I think that's the job as comedians, right? No matter what our opinion is or the audience, as long as we can get them to if we can get them into our world and how we see the world, that's our job as the comedian.
For sure.
We get them to laugh.
For sure.
I feel that, for sure.
Yeah. Have you watched any recent specials or anything?
Probably the most recent special I watched, things that came out recently.
Yeah.
I saw the Chris Rock special that came out recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that.
I saw Nate Bargatze's special that came out recently. The one where he's, in a Circle Stadium. What else came out recently? I think this came out recently, but I could be wrong, but it was Trevor Noah's most recent special.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to check that out, because I do like Trevor Noah.
Yeah. What I really like about Trevor Noah is how internationally relatable he is. I think I really admire that about him, Russell Peters, his ability to engage an international audience.
Humor,
you know what I mean? It's his humor goes beyond just American comedy. We're Americans, there's some jokes that I say that doesn't really make sense anywhere else, but he has a very worldly aspect to him.
Oh, yeah.
He's very versed in his cultures everywhere.
Right.
So that, I really admire that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm just reminded of that one joke he has on one of his earlier specials from a few years ago. He has a great bit of how he went and got a burrito for the first time from a sandwich, an outdoor vendor place.
Yeah.
And
that's a good bit, yeah.
They call it the napkin. They call it the napkin.
Yeah.
Like a diaper.
Diaper, right?
Yeah. So he's calling it that. And he's so great. And it can be really tough to have that job of that political comedy, to do that is very, very tough. You know?
Yeah.
To me, I always fall into the pattern of, like, I've learned, like, not by doing, because I see other people do it, is the best way to do it is to be more silly than give your actual opinion.
Yeah.
And that can be very tough, because I'm like, whenever I want to talk about politics, I want to be correct.
Yeah, because it's like, when it comes to politics, because it's so touchy,
yeah,
like, it comes across better if, like, you kind of play fun at it. Because you're kind of poking at the idea of, like, you know, this is all kind of dumb, how separated we can be
from right.
politics. When you're, like, more silly with it, it comes across more palatable, you know? Versus, like, if you come with such a strong opinion, you know, right. you're going to alienate a lot of people.
And I think stuff that isn't even inherently, like, overly political can just be that way from the tension immediately. Like, you talk a little bit about race in your comedy, of course, and
oh, yeah,
being racially ambiguous. And having to toe that line can be very tough because,
yeah.
you know, you never know how people will react to it. Because I think everyone wants to have that, like, it's very tough when people want you to be a certain way, like they want you to be offensive about something, but you want to toe that line still and be like, is this good?
yeah. So it's someone I draw inspiration from like being able to talk about race is like Russell Peters, Andrew Schultz.
Oh yeah.
It's like both of them share the ability to like show that deep cut knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's like you're able to crack jokes at a group of people, but show them simultaneously at the same time. Like, yo, I know these jokes because I know like a certain amount. Like, I got that deep cut knowledge.
And right.
Like, oh wow, how did he know that? Wow, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like back in the day, Russell Peters, when he was doing the accents, like there wasn't really a lot of people who were doing like the actual accents that like Asian people have. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't doing like the stereotypical like, you know, Ching Chong Ling Long. Like, he was actually doing Chinese accents with the tone.
Right.
Like, he was actually doing like a Filipino accent. So it's like, he shows that deep cut knowledge, and it's like, oh wow, this dude is like, he gets us. Like, going back to what you were saying, like feeling understood, he made lots of like international people feel understood by being able to do their accents and like give the world a slice of life.
Oh yeah, so for sure.
That's, I feel like I get inspiration from him especially, and Andrew does that too, to like kind of toe that line of talking about race, because you know that it just shows you're more knowledgeable of it, and I think that comes across
right. And I think that's one thing that people, that's the toughest thing about, you know, I think stand-up and performing in general with anything, is showing a certain amount of knowledge on something. Because I think that's a big pressure for that. People want to know, like, if this person's on stage, they have some, like, I don't know the word for it, like, they have some little bit of knowledge that they can teach us. Like, you know, that people want to know, expertise. Like, who they're listening to has, like, an expertise on something.
Yeah, their expertise on it, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, to me, like, whenever I talk about, like, I always try to do that if I ever do stuff about, like, mental health or anything like that. It's like, just, like, I can keep it silly, but, like, I also can keep it, like, you know, people can relate to that in a way, too. Or, like, I'll mention something and be like, yeah, this is, you know, it's a real thing to deal with. So it's always cool to have that, and I think just one of the coolest things is just seeing someone get more comfortable on stage like you are, and you really doing everything. A fun question that
sure.
I had. Was there a comedian that you watched that maybe you didn't like or didn't get before you did stand-up that afterwards you sort of gained an appreciation for when you started doing stand-up yourself?
Yeah, I have a couple examples. I think once I started doing stand-up, almost any comedian who has, like, credits and is, like, a big comedian,
yeah,
like, I have respect for. But, I mean, the examples that come to mind were, like, I didn't necessarily understand Akash Singh at first. He's part of, like, Andrew's squad.
Yeah, and he's part of his squad, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't understand him, and then I also, I guess, didn't like him. Mm-hmm. But now, like, he grew on me, and then now doing comedy, I like him a lot now. But I guess when I was just a civilian before.
Yeah.
When you're a civilian, like, you know, it's easy for you to just be like, oh, I don't like this person because they don't share the same opinion as me.
Right.
So I feel like I fell in that category. And then a similar thing, Ronnie Chang. At first, I didn't really understand. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I still was like, oh, I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying. Like, I felt like he was hacky when I was rebelling. But then once I started to do comedy, and he kind of grew on me too.
I was like, oh. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of what we can view as hacky is just the work. It's just, like, being good at just the basic stuff. And we sort of view that, like, it was easy. But it's not, you know? And, like, the one person I always say is Maria Bamford. Like, I really didn't get it. And then I thought she was a genius, like, when I started doing stand-up. I was like, oh, she's so great because she does, like, so many different voices and, like, mini characters and stuff. And it was just like, oh, that's so cool to see.
Yeah.
And I love seeing, like, people just be able to embrace, like, themselves on stage totally and completely.
Yeah. And it's, like, I feel like there's a difference between, like, a comedian who is accepted by, like, the general public versus, like, a comedian's comedian, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I feel like a comedian's comedian is more like Patrice O'Neill.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if you ask, like, the common civilian, like, oh, what do you think of Patrice O'Neill? Or if they ever went to a Patrice show, you know, rest in peace. But
yeah.
Back in the day, they would have been like, oh, that guy was so offensive, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah, and it's interesting how it changes. Like, the public perception of stand-up has changed a whole lot. Because now it's such a big, like thing. When I got into it, it was really, like, sort of the second boom period. And it was really cool to see. And now it's so, like, everywhere. Like, people sort of know about stand-up more than they used to. And that makes it tough because so many people do stand-up now.
Dude, I think it's because of social media.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think this is, like, I think now is the time to do stand-up. This is just my opinion, but, like...
Yeah.
Especially Instagram Reels and TikTok. I don't know why, but, like, stand-up was just... Like, consuming stand-up in, like, short clips was, like, built for that medium. Like, people love just swiping up, seeing a little stand-up clip on Instagram, seeing a little TikTok, like... And it just works wonders. Like... I don't, like, especially when it comes to, like, marketing, getting your name out there.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
It really works in our favor, like, as comedians. I can't say the same for someone who, like, plays the guitar or, like,
sing
or whatever. But, like, people just... And I don't know, the data suggests that, like, on social media and TikTok, people just love stand-up comedy clips.
Yeah. So,
that's my opinion.
Do you have any stuff on that? Do you have any? Do you have TikTok?
Yeah, I got TikTok.
Oh, I'll have to follow you because I do have TikTok. I sort of reached, like, I don't know, 1,000 people or whatever, and then it's sort of stuck at, like, this middle range place where it's, like, it's an okay amount, but I want more. But the tough thing for me is I'm not willing to put in anything that I don't think is great, like, and also I don't want to share too much of my material because I want people to come see me. You know, when they see me at bigger shows, I want people to see my stuff and then be like, oh, he's doing the same stuff on his, on his TikTok.
Find the right balance of that, because it's like, I want to post more and continue to grow my social media presence, but then at the same time, like you said, you can't put all your stuff out there or else you don't have anything left.
Right. Cause...
So I've been trying to find, like, a happy medium where it's like, all right, I'm trying to post, like, something once a month, but it's like a gut feeling. Like, I'm like, okay, is this worthy of being posted or not? And I just try to think about it quick. Because then I'm like, all right, if I'm thinking about it too long, it's probably not. I'm not going to post it.
Right. And I mean, I guess with you, it's great because you're going out a whole lot. Like, you say you record yourself a whole bunch. Like, I don't know how much you feel is enough to sort of, like, balance it out to be like, okay, this is the stuff that I compartmentalize and put in post. Or if a lot of it is just like, oh, I'm just going to listen.
Like, part with it. You're like, oh, okay, I'm okay with parting with this joke. Giving it away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And to me, it's like, have you dealt with any, like, bad comments or anything?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I think what's tough is, to me, I have such a weird response to it, because I usually don't listen to it anymore or, like, turn the comments off. Yeah. But, like, to me, mostly, whenever I get criticized, I'm like, To me, I'm like, I wouldn't post it if it was bad. If people are laughing in the audience in the video. Like,
yeah.
That's vindication enough to be like, I know this is good. That's why I'm sharing it. If I post a clip, like, I've had to be careful. I've had to realize this. If I post a clip that is getting no reaction, it is not doing well in the video, then I totally deserve whatever, you know,
yeah.
Whatever crap I get.
Minimizing, it's always a balancing act. Like, we're always trying to minimize the amount of controversy.
Right. But also, you want to be fair to yourself. And I think because we recognize that people love stand-up now a whole lot, people won't even be malicious. They just want to be a part of it, too. They want to be a part of your journey, too. I mean, that's a big thing now is, you know, you talk about social media. That's one of the biggest differences is we never used to have that. Like, in comedy, people used to do comedy sort of in the dark for many, many years. And then you see them on late night, you see their special, and that's it. And now it's so different where people sort of...
I love it.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. Like, I think it's a really cool thing to... You can find a person from their social media and go from, like...
Be a part of their journey.
The moment they started to, like, whatever big moment they get. And it's so cool to see that. And... That's one thing that, like, I love about doing this podcast is having people on because I'm just like, you know, I can have people come on again and just whoever gets anything. And it's so cool just to see that because there's no one instance with a comedian, I feel like. There's no one, like, person. Like, I was trying to get a person on the podcast, like, twice at least because you have that – you're always growing as a performer.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, this is this person now, and that's all their act will be. It's like, no, if you see that person in 10 years, even, or just 10 months, it's like they've adapted to whatever they do. So if you ever have anything that, like, a show or anything comes out that you are doing involved in that you want me to promote, just hit me up and we can totally do that. I'm totally, you know,
for sure, man.
I'm all about that because, you know, it's never done, you know. That's the great thing about stand-up. I used to want to be a screenwriter, and one of my worst traits as a writer was I would always get sidetracked. Like, I would not be doing well with something. I'd hit, like, a dead end with, like, and then I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to start something new. And it always would annoy my teachers and stuff. I'd be like, I'm just starting this new project that I just scrapped another one. And with stand-up, it's like, it's great because you can, you know, you can always write a new joke and it's not frowned upon to write a new joke. It's like, you can go back to old ones and, of course, hone those, but being able to come up with something new all the time is...
Yeah, it's a very innovative field.
Yeah, and I was curious, like, not as a judgment, but you do stand-up, like, every night. Is it tough to... Do you find it tougher to dig into that well of new stuff to do, or is it always...
It can be hard to innovate new jokes since, you know, I do it every night. But I try to keep, like, this week I'm going to start off with these jokes on Sunday, see where it takes me till next Sunday. And then next week, maybe take the ones that are good. And there's periods where I'm like, all right, if 2 weeks has gone by, let's just do a cleanse and just have a brand new fight. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's cool to have those, like, I think that's always the cool thing for me is when I get into that headspace. Of, like, it's all about, like, your mindset, really. The one thing I always have to tell myself is, remind myself, is have a good time. It seems like such a silly thing to think about.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you have fun, it changes the whole entire perspective of it. If you just remember to have fun. But the big thing for me is, like, mastering that. It's like, if I want to have fun on stage, I don't really want to record myself. I just want to be in the moment. And it's like, I want to find that happy medium of, like, where I can perform and sort of be in that moment and be, like, you know, natural. And then also, like, record it and be like, okay, this is it. And it's always fun just to see yourself progress from what you did, like we talked about earlier. We're going to wrap up soon, but do you have anything that you're sort of working on now that you feel comfortable, like, talking about a little bit? Like, just,
like, any bits or any ideas I got?
Yeah.
I got shows coming up this Wednesday.
Oh, sure, yeah. You didn't talk about
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday? Okay.
is I have a show on Wednesday, Elazar's running a show, I'm doing Drew City.
Oh, right. One moment. I just need to do something real quick. Okay, I got it. Okay. We can do the part two and finish it up. Okay. Yeah, so it's always like, I don't want to lose anything that I recorded. It's so tough. It's like, it's rarely happened, but it's like, okay, if I record something, that's what happened with Farley's episode. It didn't record correctly. And then I was like, well, we just did like a 3-hour podcast. But I got everything to work, so it's fine. But that's the tough thing. It's like, for me, it's like, it's gotten better. The podcast is better sounding now. But it is so funny, like, to do it, like, that's the funny thing, is, like, all my comedian friends that I'm close friends with, like, everyone that's sort of in my circle that I'm close friends with, like, Dan and everyone, they're always so critical of my podcast in, like, a mean way. And then whenever, like, if your family listened to this, they'd be like, oh, it sounds fine. Like, they wouldn't notice anything. And it's sort of that thing of, like, I can't get offended because they're my friends and they're, like, giving me good advice. But I'm just like, well, people like it.
Yeah.
And they don't notice. So, but I'm really happy that I was able to get you on. I'm so sorry. I overslept again, which happens once in the blue moon. Like, way more than I wish that it would.
All good, man.
But I was glad that you kept a good attitude about it, and then I was happy. I was like, okay, good. I'm like, I would be really mad.
I messaged you. I was like, yo, I knew something probably came up, so I was like, yo, I got you, man. This was stupid.
Yeah, but at least we were able to do it sooner, because I'm always about that. I don't want to, like, you know, because it can go that way. Because, you know, people, you know, that's one of the things I always say about podcasts. Like, if you're doing one, consistency is the major just point of it, really. If you can be consistent, everything else just falls into place. Because it's like...
Exactly.
It's like, okay, that's good.
It's like stand-up,
man. And it's really cool. So, thank you so much for doing this. Are you, so what's your social media?
So let me just double check that I'm giving this out correctly. My Instagram handle should be @KyleLucero. So no spaces, just my first and last name.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my TikTok, I'm more of an Instagram guy for
those who are listening. Sure.
So follow my Instagram. But my TikTok is @KyleLucero8. So first and last name with the number 8 at the end. That's really it.
All right, great.
For most part, just look at my Instagram. That's where I post all my clips, any of my shows I'm doing, my schedule. And just DM me if you got any questions. I'm pretty on top of my DMs, so.
Right. Or are you doing Caprio's mic tonight?
Yeah, I'll be there.
So all right, great. I'll see you there.
I'll see you too.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm being able to go. I haven't been able to do stand-up all week. I'm just like, you know, I envy you so much being able to do it, you know, doing it every night. I'm like, that's a dream for me. It's like, I feel like when I'm able to do it, like three the most, I'm just like, you know, but yeah, it's great to see you just keep on doing it and keep on grinding. And like I said, if any show comes up or anything major ever happens and you want to talk about it, just let me know. I'll get you back on again.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
On the podcast, my guy.
Yeah. I'll see you later tonight.
Okay. I'll see you tonight. Peace, man.
Bye.